please pull up a seat and wind down. Was your sojourn on Rockanjima a pleasant one? The Witch of Theatre Going has invited you to a tea party. We hope you choose to attend.
Hello, and welcome to a hidden tea party. My name is Courtney, and I am the Witch of Video Games, pronouns she, her, and these are my mystery-solving guests.
Hello, my name is Jess, my pronouns are they, them. Umen Echo's a bad game, I think. I think.
Holy
I
shit! How did you come to this conclusion? I must understand your thought process. It's so alien to me.
I think I'm on Rowan's train actually now.
I'm so sorry, Courtney. You're now alone. You're now alone in the Umen Echo enjoyment corner.
Can't believe this. It's such a good game though, guys. What are you talking about? There are no flaws.
We'll go into this.
We'll go into this. He certainly won't.
Yeah.
My name's Rowan. My pronouns are they, them. Earlier today I was hungry, and so I cooked some tea. That's tea as in the drink, because I want to point out before we get into, because today is going to be a deep dive, there is a line in this reading where Ava says, "I'm starving. Goda-san, think you could cook something up for us?" And Goda-san says, "Yes, Mom, I'll prepare some tea at once." I was just really amused by the idea of, like, I'm hungry. Here's a cup of tea.
I assume they meant tea, the meal.
I would have assumed that they would say, like, lunch or food or something, knowing Umen Echo's...
The translation probably would have gone with dinner.
Anyway, shall we get into the reading?
Yeah,
we're shit, just trying to avoid talking about Umen Echo.
So, okay. So we had a very short reading this week.
We did.
You're welcome. Which is the last chapter of chapter 7, episode 7, Breakdown of the Witch Illusion.
It almost had no content in it whatsoever, in fact.
It should have been called Breakdown of the Rowan.
It should have been called Breakdown of the Narrative.
So, I mean, that's kind of what it is. It's like if you've ever seen Hamilton, it's just like the premise of most of Hamilton's songs, which is like, you remember this thing that you saw 2 minutes ago? Wasn't it fun? It's like, don't you remember chapter 2? I'm like, no.
Well, we saw it like 8 months ago, but yeah. The past of time is terrifying. So, big spoilers here, obviously, that we are going into the solution of Umen Echo. If you don't want the solution, because I will be saying them this episode, just skip this one. Because I'm not time stamping it. Just like, I am going to give either the official solution or what is as close to the official solution as we know for basically every mystery murder mystery at least. So, yeah, just big warning. If you don't want that, or if you want to come up with your own theories, take a break or just don't listen. But please do listen, so it improves my analytics.
I am going to preface this by saying that I wish the game did that so that you didn't have to.
Yeah, so jotting this down, first and foremost, on the fucking pin here, my guy spends the entire time
Will.
Being like, no, Ryukishi.
Oh.
My guy.
Right.
My guy.
My fucking sweet cheese, my rotten soldier, my nemesis. That one. He spends the entire book being like,
work it out, work it out, work it out.
Reading is a bond of trust between reader and narrator. You will try and work out my mystery with the understanding it will have a satisfying solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I would posit to Ryukishi that the reason that, like, edging is fun is because it stops. People like edging because it stops. At some point, there's some kind of payoff.
People aren't sitting here edging for 3 hours and then being like, that was fun, let's go and eat lunch. And then just walking away. There has to be a payoff.
Yeah, eventually.
Well, it depends what kind of edging you're into.
And after 150 hours of the fucking thing. Ooh, time for some payoff. But no, I'm very cross that by his own merit, he's failed.
We'll get into this later. I've got some stuff to say.
Okay.
Firstly, though, let's just start off with, we've got Claire basically saying that, she was kind of going to kill everyone anyway, but because Battle came that year, Butler she decided to resolve things differently.
Is that what she Battle said, came? Is it? I didn't.
That's TLDR.
That's not what I picked up from this, I have to say.
Oh.
Because all she really says is, things would have been different if Battler had returned a bit later, wouldn't it? And you're like, yeah? Would it? I don't know. I think for me, part of the thing is they say at the beginning of this, like, Claire's like, that's my story over. And Will's like, oh yeah, like, you don't, now that we know all that, we don't really need to go over the rest of the 2 years between now and 1986. And I'm like, honestly, that would help me because I don't know what's going on.
We will be going into this later, but I will say for now, I'm going to do my first red truth drop. Saya was going to kill everyone on the island in 1986, regardless if Battler showed up or not.
Okay. I think it's interesting because, like, from the bit that we've read, we don't get any sense of her wanting to kill anybody. There's definitely, I can see where motives to do that have come from, but there's no hint of plan, there's no hint of even, like, anger, really, towards these people. So you have to assume that happens in the time that we don't see. But because there's no sense of a plan, you don't know when it would have happened, what the circumstances were exactly, like that kind of thing.
If there was a time to be clear about things, it was fucking now.
Yeah, and they did a lot of kind of implications and stuff that I wasn't getting.
This miracle thing we will get more details on. So I won't go into it for now.
That's fine. I had assumed it was, like, essentially she drew names out of a hat for each Twilight. Maybe it's a big roulette wheel or some fucking tarot cards or something a bit more.
Well, one of the roulette wheel things are, this is a really important thing going into the next stage, is Sayo picks different accomplices each time. The only consistent accomplices are the servants, apart from Goda.
Okay.
Goda is not always an accomplice.
Right.
The only consistent ones are the servants, right?
So the only consistent ones are Genji, Nanjo, and Kumasawa.
Right, yeah.
So she, she decides at the first Twilight, like before the first Twilight, every year, that she's going to reveal herself to a different set of people and convince them to murder everyone with her for...
Sayo basically comes up with a bunch of different murder scenarios, each one involving different accomplices. So these are the different game boards we see. These are all the possibilities that they could take for this murder. And Sayo does this by using the gold as bribe, basically.
That makes sense.
So basically, the only one who knows that this is an actual murder plan is Genji. Everyone else involved thinks it's like a prank that they're playing on Battler, like a murder mystery game.
Which I assume by the first Twilight would become very obvious that it wasn't.
So Sayo tells them that they've prepared like fake bodies. Or that they're wearing makeup, or, like, that they're also in on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what the roulette wheel is. It's who is in on it. So there aren't actually fake bodies. It's real murders. But the people who are accomplices are being told it's fake bodies so that they don't get suspicious.
And Nanjo's in on it, and he's the one confirming the death, so they presumably know that he's in on it and that he's faking that.
Yeah. Nanjo's never actually checking the bodies. He's just doing what he's been told to do.
Yeah.
So he's, as far as he's aware, he doesn't think they're dead either. Because
which I think makes him a really bad doctor, that he can't,
yeah, he's
like,
a terrible doctor.
That he cannot, like, that not only that he, like, he'd look at all of that and not, like, first of all, would not be able to tell they were actually dead, and second of all, wouldn't even try to check because he'd been told that they weren't actually dead. Like, either of those, terrible doctor.
One. This is a 1986 prop body. So this is 1986 level SFX that you can achieve with, I guess, like, without blowing your entire gold budget on, like, latex copies of George with half a head. Like, my guy saw some, like, Hammer horror shit and was like, yeah, no, this is fine. This is an actual body. And they, like, pass off for every family member. No Yusharomiya is, like, interested in sticking their head around and swiveling it around enough to figure out it's fucking jam.
I mean, they are real bodies, because obviously they actually did get murdered. It's just that, you have to remember, so what I'm saying is, the murders are real. There were no fake bodies involved, but the people in on it don't know that. The people in on it think
the people
the
in on it are
fake.
Being like, wow, they've spent all of the family budget on these effects. Look how good these fake bodies are. You can see inside this person's brain. Wow. That shouldn't be possible. Because it isn't.
Yeah, the moment they find out that it's, like, not a prank is when they get killed.
Incredible. I do think relying on the fact that they're kind of idiots is also a bit of an unfortunate letdown in the story, because my god.
Okay. Gonna move on from this one. That sucks, but moving forwards. That's so unsatisfying as a solution. Kubasawa thought it was a fucking prank the whole time. And then Claire, the culprit, is like, I'm gonna die now. It's my funeral. Because I'm Beatrice Odigache. Yeah.
Like, she wanted Battler to be able to work it all out and do this, but Will understands her, and he's the only one who's got it, so he's going to do it instead.
You have truly understood the heart of my game. My heart. I would like to entrust my final moments to you. For there I cannot die unless the detective performs the last rites.
I understand. Will just stopping your heart be enough?
When you mourn the dearly departed, do you place only their heart in the coffin?
I see. That which was born from Earth will return to Earth. I shall return all that you are to the Earth.
Earth to Earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, illusions to illusions, and dreams to dreams. Then let us begin my burial.
So they do it in the form of a sword fight.
Of course they do.
It's a shit sword fight for what it's worth, because there is no fight going on.
Yeah, she's holding a sword, but she doesn't do anything with it.
Yeah, it's mostly because he pretty easily gives an answer, although whether they're satisfying or not,
yeah, who knows? I mean, like, I'd have been completely fine with this as a sword fight if he had, in doing the sword fight, told us anything about the solution to any of these mysteries, but he doesn't.
He kind of gestures towards it.
It's just a lot of sword waving and, like, shit flowery language, really. I think I will say there are two times that I was like, oh, that either confirms a theory I thought or that points me at something. But two twilights out of four episodes, not great, I will say.
So let's get into it. This is the full theory crafting. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
First game, first twilight. Six corpses lie in the garden shed.
Illusions to illusions. The corpse that cannot return to the earth returns to illusions.
Yeah, so...
That means nothing.
No. Hold on. I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Illusions to illusions. The corpse that cannot return to earth. So the idea is, as far as I can tell, illusions means something has been faked, and earth means that something is real. So the idea that what Will is gesturing at, annoyingly, is that one of the corpses in the shed isn't a real corpse, and therefore he is making it vanish? Which points towards Shannon.
Yeah.
We know being either playing dead or not in there at all.
Yeah, this is one that a peek behind the curtain here. I did my theory crafting before I read the chapter. Which turned out to be fine because the chapter didn't really help me. The solution that I had for this is that there are five bodies in the shed. Battler never sees Shannon's body. The only person who, in the narrative, ever sees Shannon's body is Hideyoshi. And he relays everything about it. I have no idea what the in-universe explanation for why Hideyoshi pretends there's a body there when there isn't.
He's been bribed by the gold. Yeah.
This is interesting.
So Hideyoshi is the accomplice for episode one.
Ava and Hideyoshi are the accomplices for episode one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because we have now a very significant piece of information that you wouldn't have if you were trying to work it out raw, which is that every game,
Beato
has an accomplice, and the accomplice changes.
Yeah.
The accomplice is all of the servants and... A combination of family.
Yeah, because I'd been working under the solution that I was like, okay, Genji, Kumisara, and Nanjo are working with Sayo. That's enough people, in my opinion. I didn't think that we then needed another accomplice, so I wouldn't have assumed that there would have been, and that it would have been a different person each time. Like, I was looking...
That's like, over 50% of the people on the fucking island are guilty.
Not quite, there's just so many of them, but like I was assuming that the reason each episode was different was because something happened earlier in the day to make it different. Like how, you know, how in episode two all the bodies are Halloween themed because Maria goes on about Halloween all that episode, and I was like, that kind of makes sense, but like I don't feel like there's anything to point you at the fact that Sayo's choosing a random accomplice each time.
The only real hint is that it makes sense to the different episodes if you think a different person is in on it, basically.
I
feel like the way to solve it is that's the way to solve it is a really bad way to solve it.
There are lots of other ways that you could make it make sense. So I don't feel like that's the only... You know, I was thinking, are Ava and Hideyoshi like trying to like make George give up on his thing for Shannon? Have they that would be a really stupid thing to do. That would be a really stupid thing to do if there wasn't an actual body there, because 2 hours later, Shannon turns up around the corner and George is like, you said she was dead. They're like, whoops.
We did get some idea that something was being randomly chosen. We have that foreshadowed.
Yeah.
The fact that it's a different accomplice bribed by the gold is nowhere foreshadowed.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Next. So you guys are correct. Hideyoshi and Canon lie about Shannon's body. George is stopped from going in to confirm it, so yeah.
Yeah, and like, even at the end of this bit of solution, Will's like, that was really risky, because what if Battler had wanted to go and look at the body and had insisted? And
yeah, that is one of the two lines in this chapter that meant anything to me, because I was like, oh, that's them confirming that Shannon's body wasn't there.
Because obviously there's nothing there because Cannon's there, so there can't be anything there.
This also does the thing that my partner Will pointed out to me, anime does a lot, and manga, and I guess Japanese visual novels also guilty, which is at the very start, they will take a word and they will provide it with a new, slightly different definition. And then the solution will be, isn't it clever? Because we have got this new, slightly different definition. And for this thing, it's the word miracles. And they've got this new, slightly different definition of the word miracle, which is less about, like, I don't know, feeding 5,000 people with a handful of bread and fish, and a bit more like gambling.
A bit like the odds are like inordinately stacked against you and still you pull through.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, that is technically within the scope of the definition of miracle. However, if you'd got somebody to define the word miracle, they wouldn't think of a fucking roulette wheel.
Yeah.
They would think of kind of, I don't know, making a person who can't walk or whatever. So like, yeah, this is incredibly guilty of this fucking
it's anime a, thing. As someone who has read non-anime Japanese writing, this is a theme in a lot of Japanese literature. Yeah. It's just the way that there's a legacy of this in Japanese writing.
Yeah, it's just like I don't know. As someone who's not an anime person, it comes across as really self-congratulatory. Like, aren't we clever? We defined this new word, and I'm like, okay. I appreciate kind of taking a new word and giving it a bit of a, like, slightly different definition to take it in a new way, but that you don't deserve a pat on the back for that.
That one, I will say, is fairly heavily foreshadowed, at least.
Yeah. It's just annoying.
Okay, sorry. Should we get to the second Twilight?
Well, I want to say before we get there that another thing that I have about this whole thing is that what they're doing here is they are deconstructing the closed rooms of each Twilight. Mm. What they are not doing is giving you any information about how any of that was set up or happened or anything. Like, we are not given an explanation of how exactly Sayo killed 4 adults in a dining room and moved them all into a shed. You know, that kind of thing. And so, like, I have theories for how that went down, but, like, I feel like that's important as well as just how was the scene of the crime.
I mean, basically, it's made up with the shotguns and Genji is how they do it.
Yeah.
Genji is an actual, like, full-on accomplice, kills people.
Except he didn't in this one, because there's a red truth that says he's not a killer. So he didn't kill anyone in this one.
Yes. He didn't kill anyone, but he did help move the bodies.
Which is kind of how I'd get this, but I still feel like one person with a shotgun at 4 moving targets, I feel like they have to have drugged the tea or something like that.
Which they could do. They had access to the food.
Which they could do, which is what my theory is. But yeah, like that's extra steps. There's extra stuff there than just, oh, they killed everyone, you know, like it's not quite that, it's not kind of just as simple as, it's not like there's no mystery there either, if you know what I mean, to talk about.
How far can 155 dB travel? So a normal shotgun, a non-sawn-off shotgun, produces 155 decibels on average. How far away can you hear 100 decibel noise?
My theory for this, for example, because the first Twilight, all they have to do is they have to drug the tea of the 4 adults who all kind of slump over. Then all Genji has to do is basically threaten Goda with a shotgun to stop him from running away while Sayo kills all of the others and then comes in and kills Goda.
Okay, so I have an online calculator for frequency of thing. There's air temperature. Essentially, the internet says without any blockage, 100 decibel sound could be heard 700 meters away. Mm-hmm. So this is half of that again, but with the walls of a house in the way.
Yeah.
I feel like you could hear it from the guest house. We don't have confirmation.
Guest house, I'm not sure. Guest house, I'm not sure about, but Goda would definitely, like, Goda and dining room would definitely have been able to hear each other.
I forgot that Goda was in the house!
Yeah, he's in the house.
Yeah, but Goda, like, Goda is also killed, so.
Yeah, like, I feel like even if Genji doesn't, if Genji has a gun, even if he doesn't use it, that's enough to, like, stop Goda from running away, like.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, but yeah, that you have to, you'd either have to, like, because, like, Goda's not going to drink drug tea, probably. He's supposed to be.
Yeah, Goda is not an accomplice in this one, so.
Okay, so the Sayo drugs the tea themselves. That's fine.
Yeah.
We're not presented with the drug solution, but I'll take it. That seems pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah. I will say, even in the official solutions, the actual mechanics of carrying out these killings are fairly glossed over. It's more about the closed
rooms.
Yeah,
which I don't like either. And, like, for instance, like, are we given any explanation as to why there's red paint and scratches on Natsui's door, for example?
So, okay, I'm happy to give the answer for this. This was to maintain the witch illusion. Natsui was initially planned to be one of the victims. But instead, Sayo sees the scorpion charm on the door and goes, "Oh, if I do this, it will, like, lead credence to, like, the witch lore."
Oh,
that
I thought
I've
the
built.
Scorpion charm was on the inside of the door.
Yes, it is. But she goes in the room, sees the scorpion charm on the inside of the door, and goes, "Oh, I should actually. I've got a good idea here. I'll pretend that I couldn't get in."
Right.
Question.
Hmm.
Natsui's in the fucking house. Why didn't she hear the gunshot?
Just, we can't go into the gunshot sound lore. The manga just says they found a way to make the gunshots really quiet, and we're just gonna go with that.
Is that foreshadowing? Maybe not that device that's used?
Yeah.
The device
that's okay, used. The other solution is Natsuhi was probably also drugged and was in a drugged sleep and didn't hear anything.
Question about the drug. Do we have any information about it? Is it foreshadowed at all? As per Nox's fourth?
For me, I think that one would be kind
it's
of okay
not a new
if it's
drug.
Just like a sleeping
it's
pill.
It's just sleeping pills. It's just sleeping pills. It's not like a okay. new... Yeah. You're being ridiculous, Aaron.
Oh, no. I'm just firing off as many blue truths as possible in order to see if the witch can't count.
You're battling this.
I'm gonna fucking battle the solution to you and Echo.
Yeah.
But yeah,
the solution to Echo is that witches did it, and I will prove it.
I'm pretty sure everyone in the house, apart from Asayo and Genji, had sleeping pills, so that they would sleep through the gun. What are you doing?
Sleeping pills.
It depends on the sleeping pill.
You can't see, but I'm doing my demon face.
Okay, can I go to the next mystery yet, or are we still doing this? Are we still doing this?
Let's move on.
Next.
Okay, thank you.
First game, second twilight. Two corpses are wed together in a closed room protected by a chain.
Illusions to illusions. A chain of illusions holds back naught but illusions.
This should be pretty straightforward at this point.
They're accomplices.
Yeah.
My theory for this was the chain was never actually on. Like,
interesting. Because who is it that cuts it?
Cannon. Cannon cuts it before anyone else shows up.
And Kumasawa was there with.
Yeah. The people who get to the Kumasawa and Genji are the other two people who get there first. So I'm like, okay, Sayo opens the door with the master key, kills them both. And then cuts the chain afterwards and then says, oh yeah, the chain was on.
Sayo's probably let in because, you know, their accomplices is like, let me in, I'm gonna tell you some stuff you're gonna do, and then goes in and kills them. And
again, I don't really know how they're killed. My guess would be shot in the head with a smaller gun and then the stakes put in, because it's been established that like the stakes are pretty heavy and hard to like, it would be hard to actually drive that through someone's skull. My theories for all of this basically rely on there being a small silenced pistol also involved.
That's about right.
I would have loved to have found that at some point in the novel, or like found evidence that one of those existed. Even if there was just some ammo for it or something. But like, yeah, that would have been probably fairly easy to do.
Even the peak, smallest and quietest calibers, 110 to 120 decibels is the...
You have to remember, this all takes place during a typhoon, so there is a lot of noise happening.
There's a typhoon. Hideyoshi, even though he was in the room next door in the bathroom, had a shower on, so that would probably be fine. I think everybody else was far enough away that I'm willing to think a silenced pistol wouldn't have carried throughout the rest of the
house. We don't have a floor plan, so...
They were on a different floor to the rest of them.
That a suppressor would do that. I think you would still hear a suppressor, but there's nothing stopping it be like a brick to the head and then a stake. Like,
yeah, we don't know the exact details as to how this was done, but we know that it was done.
I think that's a problem, but sure.
Yeah, it would be nice to know how. But...
First game, fifth Twilight. The sacrificed boy's final moments, pierced by a stake.
Illusions to illusions. The stake of illusions shall only pierce illusions.
No, we've got the fourth Twilight.
I'm skipping it because we know how the fourth Twilight was done.
Which one's fourth?
Kinzo.
Fourth Twilight is Kinzo. Kinzo. How did Kinzo end up in a furnace? I wonder.
Sayu and Genji put him on it. I presume.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to skip some of these. I think the solutions are obvious too, that we've already worked out, so I'm just going to go to the
boilers on a fucking easy one. Timer.
They're hard
it's
ones.
Easy. First game, fifth Twilight, last moments of the sacrifice boy with a stake in his chest. Well, who's present at that?
For which one?
So Cannon runs down by himself, gets stabbed by a stake from golden butterflies.
Mm.
And everyone runs in. He's pulled the stake out, but he's covered in blood, and he's carried off by Genji and Nanjiro.
Yeah, so my presume is just put a lot of fake blood
you
on
it. You guys actually worked this out, like, a few episodes ago.
I can't tell from the writing whether he actually stabbed himself a bit and pulled it out, or whether he just covered himself in a load of red paint.
I don't think it matters, because he dies off screen.
But Nanjo carries him off and then pretends that he's dead.
Nando's like, hee, what a good prank. Battler's so freaked out. Jot this down. What absolute dickheads. Like, on a personal level, this is such an awful prank to play on someone.
Yeah.
Believing that they're actually trapped on an island with murder.
These are the servants who are most loyal to the family head.
It really does.
And they're following the orders of the family head.
It condemns them even further than they were already condemned, doesn't it? Yeah. Like, let's play a prank on these children and make them all pretend that their parents have been killed violently on an island.
Yeah. Like, and they're like, guess it really is Kinzo's child.
What? Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
They've got the right fucking person.
Genji's like, oh no, I'm now taking orders from another maniac. Like...
Yeah. So that's correct for Cannon. Let's go to
first game, sixth, seventh, and eighth Twilights. Three corpses lying in the singing girl's closed room.
Illusions to illusions. Illusions are the blind girl's song singing of the closed room.
So
Sayo lets themselves in with a master key and shoots them all. And says, I'm Beatrice, because Miria knows that, and says, turn around, sing the nice song.
You remember that song that we've been practicing at 2 a.m. every night?
Yeah.
Sing that one.
I'm presuming Genji put the letter down in the study then.
Yeah. One of the servants did, it doesn't matter who.
Hold on, quick question. Is it Jessica that goes into the room and gets frightened?
Yes.
Can't be the same song then, because maybe Jessica would have said, I know that song. It's Beatrice's song. That would be sick nasty.
Well done. You truly are magnificent.
A risky game from the very start. If he had entered the shed, the truth would have been revealed.
The price of spinning the roulette of fate.
Is there anything else you want to go over in episode one? Anything I can help with?
I guess Natsui's death is... Sayo would have slipped a letter under the door of the parlour when all of them were in there looking at the bodies.
Yeah.
Natsui saw it, barred the door, went out. Sayo did the Matrix thing and evaded Natsui's shotgun blast and shot Natsui in the forehead instead.
You're gonna hate this. Natsui's shotgun was never loaded.
How are we supposed to know this?
Because you know that Sayo has access to all the shotguns, so would know exactly which shotgun Natsui had.
This is such a BBC Sherlock fucking answer.
How do we know that Sayo had access
all this
to
time
shotguns?
He knew that he was allergic to peanuts!
Oh, why wouldn't Sayo have access to the guns? What would
why would we know that? Why would
Sayo has access to literally everything on the island?
How do we know that Natsui hasn't fucking shot a shotgun before and knows how to tell if it's loaded? Because there is a weight difference between a loaded and unloaded
shotgun.
Because
she would have said throughout the day that the shotgun were like.
Yeah, because I assumed that Natsui had shot one of these before because she's a fucking Yushiromiya and they all have.
No, they haven't. Natsui's never shot one of these before. It's never mentioned that they have shot this before.
It's never mentioned that she hasn't!
I presumed they were loaded in all episodes because in episode 3 they definitely are.
Mm-hmm.
How would Sayo know to unload the shotgun? Presuming that Natsui would have no idea. Why would Sayo have had the forethought? Unless Sayo is literally
because Sayo has the other three. Sayo has the other three guns.
Why would Natsui have taken a gun that wasn't loaded?
Because Natsui had no idea how to check whether it was loaded or not.
So we're going back on the whole everyone in this island's an idiot again, which is not great. No one can tell whether a gun's loaded and no one can tell what a real corpse looks like either, apparently.
They're also idiots for thinking cheese can't
be bent.
I mean,
they can tell what a real corpse looks like. They just have no idea that it... They're like, this looks so realistic. Good job. But because it's not like they're falling for a fake corpse. It's that they're trying to reason away a real
corpse.
Yeah,
I know. But then, like, if I was in that
situation... Wow, they've made it warm.
Especially if I was a doctor, I'd be like... These look weirdly real. Let me just check. But this isn't
anyway,
a real corpse for a second.
Yeah. I'm this is fucking dancing around some of Nox's truth so carefully
really
in terms
is.
Of like, oh, there's not a Nox's truth about everyone thinking it's a joke. I'm like, yeah, no, because Nox never thought it would be this stupid. Moving forwards.
Second game, first twilight. Sealed in the chapel, 6 corpses lie with their stomachs burst open.
Illusions to illusions. The golden truth seals the lock of illusions.
What does this mean? Nothing.
This one's
sadly,
actually a really good hint, but I don't know if you guys...
Sadly, I do
or not.
Think it does mean something. Sadly, I think it means because the solution with the gold in... involves the chapel, the solution with the gold also mean like is the way that you unlock and lock the room, for which I would say interesting hidden passage you've got there. Was that foreshadowed?
I've been waiting for so long to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Is there ever a red truth that the chapel door was locked?
Okay, what the fuck happens with the chapel door?
I guess we see Rosa unlock it, but we know that's a witch truth because in the scene, yeah, so basically my idea for this was that basically everyone's been killed and then the bodies are put in when Rosa opens the chapel the next day. because we know that that scene is a witch truth, because Rosa is talking to both Shannon and Cannon as if they were separate people.
Yeah. That's the foreshadowing for Rosa being one of the, Rosa and Goda being the culprits, accomplices for this.
Rosa and Goda? Scene? I got Rosa, but yeah, why Rosa the fuck Goda would Goda be necessary?
Yeah, Rosa and Goda are accomplices because Goda has to witness the phantom cannon, which only works if Goda's in on it.
I just assumed they threatened him.
he's been bribed.
Yeah, which isn't necessarily the same as being an accomplice.
I mean, if you want to interpret it as they threatened Goda, you can do that. We don't ever have there is never a scene showed of how they got Goda on board. So.
Yeah, I just presumed they killed Nanjo and Kumasaura and were like, we'll kill you too unless you go along with this, the story that Genji says. But yeah, I guess we presume the chapel's locked because we see unlocked. But at that point, like, there is no, apart from Shannon and Cannon both being there as separate people, there are no obvious witch things going on. Like, there's no obvious magic or anything to tell you that that's a scene that isn't true, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but we never have a red truth saying that the chapel door was locked, because Battler never asked for it.
We have the you can infer that it's locked in the sense that I'm pretty sure we're told that Kinzo keeps it locked all the time.
Yes, but we never actually check that it's locked on that day.
Mm. Or at least Battler can't, because it's been opened by the time he gets there.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't really know how this all occurred. Like,
so basically, the chapel was never locked on both of the 2 days. So when the key was given to Maria, it didn't matter because the chapel was never locked in the first place.
Yeah, I mean about, like, how the bodies got there in the first place. Like, are we thinking they were drugged in the dining room? Are we thinking they were led to the chapel? Like, were they halfway through solving the epitaph and they were in the chapel for doing that?
They were probably led to the chapel, drugged, and then killed.
Didn't we specifically have truce against the fucking drugs, though? Because we did suggest drugs previously.
Don't think we have any red truth against it, as far as I'm aware.
I don't know. I know we've had a conversation about these people being drugged previously, and that was not taken as a solution.
It's the solution isn't that they, like, drank poison that disemboweled them or anything.
Yeah, I think we've had a conversation about them being drugged as a method of killing them, which I don't think any of them have been.
No, they weren't. They were killed by the sawn-off shotguns firing into their stomachs.
Oh, is it supposed to? I kind of presumed it would be a knife.
Actually, they might be knifed. I don't think we don't have the actual logistics of how the actual, like, killing was done. We just have logistics of how the closed room was created.
Yeah.
But they were drugged and disemboweled somehow. It probably was with a knife, you're right.
We'd been suspecting Rosa because obviously she's shown with all of them the whole time and then mysteriously wakes up. But yes, just she'd have had to be in on it this time.
So she pretends to or at least was shown her unlocking the door. Which she doesn't actually do.
I'm curious as well as to why in episode 2 Sayo decides to dress up as Beatrice and show Rosa, like, that as a persona rather than just, like, getting Maria when she was alone and giving her the letters.
So it's to create witnesses. The reason she shows herself in front of Kyrie is to create witnesses of the witch illusion.
It just doesn't really make any sense why she didn't do that any of the other times.
it makes sense if you believe this to just be a response to the stuff that was happening in the meta world, I guess.
But like, I didn't ever really get that as a sense that this was happening kind of chronologically in that sense.
I mean, it is chronologically the second game, so, you know.
But they all happen, they're all overlapping fragments of the same event, so like...
But Beatrice is the writer of the game, so...
I was looking for a solution to why these things happen that doesn't involve a witch did it.
Well,
I was looking for an in-universe non-witch solution too.
What I'm assuming is there's millions and millions and millions of fragments, essentially infinite fragments, there's infinite universes, and Beartu is choosing which fragments to show us based on what's happening in the meta world, which means like Battler's fucking scuppered regardless of what happens. However, this is weird because it therefore implies that meta Beartu's actions are different to Beartu, board game Beartu's actions, because it implies that meta Beartu wants to fuck over Battler.
Yeah.
If you want to present something that Battler eventually solves, you present a solvable version of Uber Echo.
I mean, so this is meant to be a hint to Battler not to trust Rosa, basically. Because while Maria might, you know, fall for, like, some sort of witch recreating a candy, Rosa wouldn't. So if magic's not real, Rosa must be lying. There's so much stuff in this episode that's set up to make you distrust Rosa's
See, I didn't read it like that. I read that as Sire's dressed up as Beatrice and did sleight of hand, but Rosa's account of that is still true.
But Rosa sees her throw the candy up in the air, golden butterflies appear, and a reformed candy appears.
But, like, you don't know how much of that scene is a witch truth.
But if it's a witch truth, Rosa has to be in on it.
I don't feel like that's necessarily true. I feel like the witch truth could be...
Because if Rosa wasn't in it, she'd just turn to Maria and go, you know, she just switched the candies
not
for
if,
you. There was
not
no
if
magic.
Sire's really good at sleight of hand.
Yeah, but she'd go up to her and be like, it's sleight of hand, but the way it's presented is that there's golden butterflies flying out of nowhere. How would Sire have done that?
I don't know.
And this is also combined
with... They can do all sorts of bullshit things in this book.
Yeah, all it needs to be is like...
They had another paper. Accomplice who was shooting like paper golden butterflies out from behind a hedge, like, and it was another secret accomplice no one knew about.
Okay, but this is also combined with the ton of evidence you have in this episode that Rosa is not trustworthy.
Oh, I agree that Rosa's not trustworthy by the chapel thing, but I didn't feel like I needed to suspect her at this point.
No,
this is meant to be like when you're reflecting on the chapter, you go, so we have like 5 pieces of evidence Rose isn't trustworthy. We have the garden, we have the chapel, we have her shooing them out of Natsui's room, we have there's all this stuff that leads to Rosa not being trustworthy.
What's the shooing them out of Natsui's room thing?
We're gonna get to that, but that is one of the things that I found suspicious on my first reading was, why is Rosa immediately shuffling them out of the crime scene? Like, Rosa just kicks Battler the shit out of there before he can look at anything. And I was like, that's really suspicious. Why would she do that? So, you know, there's it's like a... the reason they do it is to build a narrative of Rosa not being trustworthy, if that makes sense.
I'm fine with this.
So that's why, from a narrative purpose, that's why the Beatrice stuff is there.
Second game, second twilight. Corpses of the two who are close are kept apart.
Illusions to illusions. Illusions with no role left to play leave nothing behind.
We've basically solved this one previously.
Yeah,
we
this.
Were like...
Sire kills Jessica and then is like, I'm now Shannon for the rest of this.
Yeah.
Shannon is dead because I'm not going to beat him ever again.
Yeah. Shannon's fronting, Cannon's not on Rock and Jima. Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Easy.
Second game. Fourth, fifth, and sixth twilights. In the matriarch's closed room, none are left alive.
Earth to Earth. No one would argue that a coffin is a closed room.
So, I do not remember what this twilight entails, but I did understand from this is just a real crime.
Yeah.
This is Sayo, George, and Goda being... Shannon, George, and Goda being killed in Natsui's room. And it's a locked room. It's not a locked room anymore. If George lets them in, Sayo kills both of them, relocks the room, and then shoots herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm presuming then that Rosa shuffling them out the room is to stop them finding the gun.
Yeah, that's it. It's to stop them finding the gun that Sayo used. Because Sayo is slumped over because to sort of position the gun on herself. That's why we have that CG of her slumped over and she's described
as being slumped over. Yeah, and Battler, like, examines her head, I think, but not, like, the rest.
Yeah. So that's why Rosa, like, doesn't want them to investigate. It's, so yeah, no one would argue that a coffin is a closed room.
Second game, 7th and 8th Twilights. The two slashed and severed by the red-eyed phantom.
Earth to earth, illusions to illusions. No illusion can create a corpse.
They were killed by Genji.
He's still fucking kicking around.
I think you could argue Sayo did it too. I don't think it's...
Sayo could have also done it earlier. I think the official solution is that Genji did it, but, like, there's nothing stopping you from saying Sayo did it and just hid the corpses.
What is this?
This is when Nanjo and Kumasawa are found outside with stakes.
They had their throat slit.
But they had already been described...
ages ago, yeah. Supposedly.
They had their throat slit by Phantom Cannon, but Phantom Cannon didn't really exist. It was a lie.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. I just read this as Sayo and Genji team up, kill those two, and move them outside, and then Genji's like, we'll kill you if you don't go along with our story, Goda.
Yeah.
That's
episode 2. Do we have any more points you want to go over for episode 2?
No. I'm satisfied. This is more satisfying than the solutions for episode 1, for what it's worth. Yeah. I feel like
the accomplice thing with Rosa is more clear than the Ava Hideyoshi.
Yeah, I do think he does a better job. I'll agree with that. I think he does a better job foreshadowing it.
Yeah, and also I feel like the answers to how things have worked out feel like, well, I mean, partially because they were some more of it was guessable beforehand, but also it just feels more satisfying, the answers. Like, it feels like it holds up within its own rules a little bit better, and I can make sense of how things are done in my head without having to be like, and then she drugged 6 people, because how would you kill 6 people at once anyway, you know?
None of these, by the way,
address how everyone dies at the end.
True.
No, we will be getting into this later, don't worry. This will be answered, but I'm not going to do it now. This is for a later episode. Actually, it's for next reading.
Third game, 1st Twilight. 6 corpses linked by a chain of closed rooms.
Illusions to illusions. In the closed room ring, the end and the beginning intersect.
We got this one! They're the same person!
Yeah, you kind of got this one.
Because I had this one until I realised that Canon died in the chapel. The chapel key is with Kinzo in the boiler room. Mm. And the master keys don't work on the chapel. So how did Sayo get into the chapel?
I'm just going to double check the solution for this.
I was going to be like, what order did they check them in? Because if they check Canon first, but they don't.
No,
they
get Shannon's first, Canon's last.
Which is where they get time for a costume change.
So it's once again, the chapel is unlocked.
But then it wouldn't be a closed room chain if the chapel was unlocked.
But one of the, there's an accomplice fake.
Don't we get a red truth about all the doors on this one, though? Because this is one that's very specific because of how Battler fucking can't solve it. They really go into this one. Do we get a red truth about this?
No, there isn't a red truth that say they are all locked. It says that they how he says the doors and windows are all normal. No device that exists that can lock them without a key, such as an auto lock. It never says that they're all locked.
I'm so fucking normal right now. Are you joking? Are you actually joking?
Baffler frequently never actually checks if a door is locked.
I'm normal!
That would require, I think it would require Nanjo to be the one unlocking the doors then. Because he would have to be the one, obviously Shannon and Cannon, two separate servants. Sayo, though, one person, has two master keys. So Nanjo, when finding Shannon, would have had to take one master key and whatever the key to the next door was and leave the other two on the fake body so that Sayo could then go and be Cannon in the chapel. So we know he, and obviously he's the one fake confirming the bodies and stuff. It would that would have fallen apart extremely fast if anybody had got to the chapel door first. In that case.
Fucking miracles, innit?
So this one's a weird one, because Rikishi's never really made it clear as to whether Ava actually did solve the epitaph and started just killing people randomly, or whether Ava was an accomplice but just decided to start killing people. It's questionable.
I feel like it makes more sense if she did solve the epitaph.
Yeah, it probably is. It's just because the manga lists the accomplices as Ava and Hideyoshi, but I don't know if they actually are accomplices or whether they're,
My take on this would be that they're accomplices in that they are murdering people. But that they are not accomplices in that they're actually working towards, that they're actually in on the same stuff.
This is interesting. So when you've been saying accomplice, you mean accomplice to the prank, not accomplice to the actual murder.
This is the only time it's like someone other than affiliated with Sayo's plan, like kind of does actual death. Murders. As shown in episode 3, I'm not even going to go into like Rosa Maria Kraus Nazi, because you guys already know Ava went and killed
this
them.
This is the other bit of this chapter where I felt like actually Will told us something, which he basically says for Rosa and Miria's death and Hideyoshi, Kirie and Rudolph that we were shown what happened. Which doesn't really tell us anything, because what we were shown was a witch truth. But it doesn't tell us how any of it happened, but it tells us it was Ava. But I'm still a bit confused as to how any of it would happen.
Do you know how Rosa's child sedatives went missing?
Yeah.
Fucking god.
So when Ava made tea for Kraus and Natsuhi, it had child sedatives in them. Probably a lot. Specifically so that Ava could overpower them and kill them.
Okay. That one makes a bit more sense. I'm presuming for Rosa and Maria that Ava used her kick-ass martial arts powers to just kind of drop kick Rosa onto the fence. And then
suplexed her!
And then strangles Maria.
So my personal theory, again, I don't think we ever actually get the actual way this plays out, is that like Rosa and Ava got into an argument. Ava like acts like they started like physically like pushing each other, and then Ava like maybe accidentally, maybe intentionally pushed Rosa onto the fence, and was like, at this point, I might as well just start killing everyone.
How high is this fence?
It she was pierced in the back of her head, so pretty high.
No, because in my head I'd been like, 6 foot high fence, rather than like waist height fence that she's fallen back onto. If I was Battler, I would be asking for red truths about the height of the fence.
Where it looks like Rosa's feet aren't even touching the floor anymore. So it looks like it's taller than she is. Which is why I was like, Ava's a martial artist, which is how that could have happened. Because the witch truth explanation is that she's dropped from a really high, like she's dropped from the sky, and that's how she gets up onto that fence in the first place. I think they say something about like, it would have taken a lot of strength to get someone up there. I'm gonna have to log back into the whole last thing to find the splash art, but I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. Because that's why I was like, oh, it's a really tall fence that she's been, like, thrown onto rather than, like, a waist-high fence.
Which is why I think it's Ava's martial arts kicks. That's what I think. Which she's is like, fucking but okay.
John Cena.
I've got an extra one here, which is not in the, in the VN, because I think this is an interesting one to kind of break down.
Third game, Ninth Twilight. Cruel Witch begins her final massacre.
Earth to earth, illusions to illusions. The culprit hides beneath a web of illusions.
Who is this, sorry? Nanjo?
This is referring to Nanjo, as well as some of the stuff with George I thought would be cool to go over here.
Can we quickly circle back round to Hideyoshi, Kirie, and Rudolph first?
Oh, sure, yeah, no problem.
Because I feel like this confirms that Ava killed all three of them. Because that is what's shown. Is Ava Beatrice kills those three.
This is a bit weird because you can kind of theorize this however you want. I'm trying to remember what the official solution
what
is.
What I kind of went for, like, with this is that, because Kirie took Hideyoshi to the mansion because she wanted to threaten him. But, like, so I was like, oh, maybe they all shot each other. But, like, that's not what we were shown. So if Will's right...
No, the official solution is that they all shot each other.
Which means but, Will's wrong.
The Will solution is that either Ava or Sayo came in and dressed them up to look like witch murders.
But we're shown Ava, like, Ava Beatrice coming in to do that.
Yeah. That no false hits in the final moment, says told.
Don't have an answer as to why Will would say this, other than it's either a translation error or Will's wrong. Or Ryukishi decided that they didn't like the solution of Ava. I mean, Ava does go there, apparently. I don't know.
I think, personally, it makes more sense if, like, if Ava goes there, interrupts their whole thing, they end up in a standoff, Ava kills Kirie and Rudolph, and then Hideyoshi does the thing that...
I think maybe what Will is getting at with this statement is that the moments are correct as were deduced in episode 3, is maybe what he was getting at.
What was deduced?
Because Baffler did basically come up with a solution. In episode 3, they have a fight with Ava Beatrice, and she's like, how did I kill Hideyoshi, Kirie, and Rudolph? And then Battler's like, you didn't. They all shot each other. Okay. And she's like, fuck, you got me. So I assume that's what he was referring to.
Maybe. Yeah. That's unhelpful from Will.
Mm-hmm. This whole game's unhelpful, I've decided.
Let's see. So, circling back around to Nanjo, who do we think killed Nanjo?
Just solved this.
I think, like, the problem is that, like, I think you can easily make an argument for Sayo doing it. Because Shannon and Cannon are dead, but they're not. I personally think that Kirie killing Nanjo is by far the more interesting one.
Yeah, that's way cooler! What the fuck?
Especially because Kirie could well have seen, for instance, like, if Nanjo is not checking the bodies properly for the first Twilight, not taking all the keys off them, and faking unlocking doors, if Kirie had seen anything earlier on,
yeah,
and then led
all
her
it takes
to suspect
is for
Nanjo,
Kirie to go back to one of those bodies and be like, that's a real body.
So,
or
of
for
this,
Kirie
added...
to have noticed when they went past the parlour in the mansion that there wasn't a body in it. Because Shannon's gone.
Because of this theory and Ryukishi's intended solution, they actually added an extra red truth to this in the manga, which I've kind of withheld for now because I liked your Kirie theory. But I will bring up that Ryukishi changed this by saying... that giving the red truth before Nanjo's murder, Kinzo Kraus, Natsuhi Hideyoshi, Rudolph Kirie, Rosa Maria, George Goda, Kumasawa, Genji Shannon, and Kanon were all dead.
What I will say is this is really irritating because it's like
everything is the final solution. So it's like, you couldn't solve Umineko unless you solved all of Umineko. I liked that there was a thing that we could solve without having all of the answers, because it was rewarding us along the way, because part of the push and pull of reading this
is supposed to be, this is how, this mystery is how I worked out Shikanon.
Huh.
Was this mystery. This is supposed to be the Shikanon hint. This is the intended Shikanon hint, is that you're supposed to go, Shannon and Canon are dead, but what about, like, their real names? Are we doing some name trickery here? Which is how I got onto the actual, like, what if there's, a real name underneath it? That's what this is supposed to be pointing you towards, and I think that's why Ryukishi ended up rewriting the...
And I guess because we had a satisfying alternative solution, we just didn't...
Yeah, and the character menu fully, like, goes into that as a red herring as well by saying, like... that it talks about how Kyrie was stabbed in the stomach and how that isn't a particularly fatal area to stab someone in. So it baits you as well.
We've got a better solution to
I'm going to put this out here and say that not just because of this, but because of various other things in this, I personally think I could write a much better mystery than this.
Easily. Easily. I was saying this about... You literally did. I was saying this about me going in, and I've come up with much less satisfying answers than you, and, like, geez.
Ugh, this game.
Sorry. Sorry, I don't like the official solution of this one. It's much more satisfying if it's just a solution.
Also, I'm presuming that George was killed because he went back to the parlor and it was empty, and so he couldn't be allowed to live.
So George was probably baited by Shannon to the parlor. She called him up, did the Shannon voice, and was like,
George, come over to the parlor. Hello?
Okay.
It was like that.
Yeah, like that. And this maybe was revenge against Ava for derailing her plans.
I'm going to choose to believe it's revenge against George for being a fucking nonce.
That also works. We have no official motive for why.
Do we also have any idea who wrote the fucking code on the wall and why?
Saya wrote it on the wall. I don't know why.
Because they're the fucking Joker, that's why.
It's maybe a hint for Battler. I don't know.
It is sad that we have Will parading around this entire fucking episode being like, don't forget the heart. The motive is the most important part, and we're literally given zero motive.
We're not given much motive, and we're not given any of the how either. We're just given who.
I mean, we're not even given who explicitly. Well, yeah,
we're not given anything.
Because Ryukishi really doesn't want to tell you things. He wants you to work it out yourself. Okay.
I think personally, if Ryukishi was really, really into that, he should have been like, write the fucking book yourself. I'm not even going to bother. Which, because he kind of didn't, did he? He got to this point. He was like, I think I'm done. I'm not going to write anymore.
I'm just going to copy-paste illusions to illusions repeatedly and make it seem like it's poetic repetition. Yeah.
We still have, 250,000 words.
Yeah, but none of them are going to be about this. Done. They're not going to be, like, useful.
No, it's going to be, like, fucking Peggle or something. He's actually just completely new game.
It's just the script to the B-movie, pasted thousands of times.
Right, shall we?
Interspersed Ryukishi saying, have you worked it out yet?
So the fourth game, are we done? Any more questions about the third game, or are we all good?
No.
Now we good. We will move on. I thought of something, but that can come up later, listener. If you're still with us at the end, I've got a doozy for us.
Fourth game, first twilight. A massacring storm sweeps through the dining hall.
Illusions to illusions. Tales weaved by the golden truth fade to illusions.
So I'm guessing the accomplices for this are Goda Kyrie, Kraus, and Jessica.
Yeah, I want to see.
I have. Okay, do you guys want the official culprit list? Because I think you're going to hate it.
Yeah, go on.
Fine.
It's everyone except Battler.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They all think they're playing a fucking prank on Battler. I can't believe the solution that Battler came up with a few episodes ago that we were like, this sucks and is lame, is the solution to the book.
I have a better solution. again.
Cool, go
I'm
going to
put in. So, like, I'm going to... My solution is that... Sayo and Genji, and, like, I guess maybe Nanjo and Kumasawa as well, all come into the family conference, shotguns blazing, and kill six people. And then say to everybody else, you're going to go along with this and say that you saw magic and doing this, and then I won't kill you as well.
Which is kind of what actually ends up happening. That's kind of what it means by everyone was an accomplice.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Because they're not really accomplice. I feel like accomplice implies you aren't forced under, like, threatened.
I think it's to do with some... I think it's to do with some translation stuff happening here, but...
Okay, okay, okay. When we first set this out, you were like, accomplice. And I was like, ah, okay, anime word. Accomplice now means the person that is bribed by the gold into being in the prank. And now accomplice also means people who've been threatened to death and now playing along.
The problem is, Ryukishi doesn't give any details on why anyone...
No, 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 no. You can stop the sentence that the problem is Ryukishi.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, it's kind of up to you to interpret how you think these characters would behave in this
situation.
But yeah,
like, personally, I think them being threatened is a much more satisfying solution than everybody was in on a big prank.
Which works under Ryukishi's own framework, so if you would rather interpret it that way, then go for it.
I can't believe everyone was under. Big prank is the fucking solution to Umineko. I'm gonna go around telling people this now, that the solution to Umineko is everybody thought it was a fucking joke.
It was just a joke!
Well, everyone except for two people thought it was a joke.
Yeah. That's insane. That's awful.
Genji and Sayo come in. They shotgun five people, and then Genji shoots himself in the fucking head. And so I was like, right. Like, it's also like for this one, it's impossible to tell what actually happened for so much of it. Like, Kraus and Kyrie could have been walked to the underground of Kuwadorian through the passage. They might just have been in a random room in the mansion and they just pretended they were somewhere else. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. People say anything with a shotgun to their head. Torture doesn't actually work because people will just say anything under threat.
Exactly.
If you genuinely think you're going to be hurt and die,
you will say anything, to get out of it.
Fourth game, second twilight. The two young ones face their trials and pass away together.
Illusions to illusions. Tales weaved by the golden truth fade.
How did Jessica know about George's
death? She'd been told that he was going to die, and how he was going to die, and what to say to Battler. She didn't see anything.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Because it was kind of established she wouldn't have been able to see anything from where she was in her bedroom. And then, I'm presuming, like, did Sayo kill Jessica while she was on the phone?
Yeah.
Just shotgunned her, I guess. Which apparently didn't, the sound of which did not carry up the phone line.
It's also muting on Apple these days. They, like, cut out the really loud sounds.
Oh,
so they have this all the time on the radio when they're like, oh, play us the sound of your washing machine, and then it never works. It's Jeremy Vine has a really big problem with this. I'm a big Jeremy Vine fan.
Let's move on to the next Twilight.
Fourth game. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth Twilights. None of the runaways are left alive.
Earth to earth, illusions to illusions. Silent corpses adorned by fiction.
There's a big goat man and they kill him.
Yeah, there, that's it. They were big. So I was like, finally, unleash the goats.
Yeah.
Goatmen, which have been foreshadowed because they were present in other episodes.
Yeah, they were.
And no, they're Kyrie goats, so they're not people, on... technically. They're not like, humans.
Kyrie is threatened while on the phone. And
yeah, and then killed, and then with small gun. And then switched to big gun for Kraus for some reason.
Vibes. I'll take that.
And then obvious reasons as to why Cannon's body is under the well, because Cannon's body isn't there. So,
I'm presuming we get shown in the narrative that Shannon and Nanjo die at this point. Nanjo might have, but Shannon obviously doesn't, because Sayo has to go see Battler.
So his...
on the roof.
By the time Battler finds the corpse, Sayo is dead. However, in this entire episode, because Battler doesn't find the corpses until like he actually goes to the island, they could die in any order. Yeah. We don't actually have an official order as to how these corpses died. It's just like whatever order Sayo felt like it.
Yeah. All we know is that like Sayo had to have died after they appeared on the roof to talk to Battler.
Yeah. Which happens.
Oh my god. Sayu fucking legging it down the garden to be ahead of Battler and shoot themselves so their body goes cold before Battler finds it.
Yeah. I think they were hoping Battler would be distracted by the dining room corpses first, which probably worked.
Yeah, they also, I think Beatrice like hid the keys around a little bit, didn't she? So like they couldn't, he couldn't get right into the mansion at first.
Oh yeah, he couldn't get in. Yeah, that's
so
true.
So he had to do a bit of a run around to the chapel first or something and...
Yeah.
To give her some time. I don't really know what the whole poisoning Maria and then... Because Maria was told to go to the chapel, but then end up poisoned in the dining room. No idea how any of that happened. Or why, really.
I think we'll go into that in another episode.
Fourth game. Ninth Twilight. And none shall be left alive.
Earth to earth, illusions to illusions. When fantasy is locked within a cat box, it becomes truth.
So I'm not going to give the actual solution for this, but
big explosion.
I'm not going to go into the details of this, but big explosion takes our battle.
I'm going to presume by the fact that when Beatrice is talking to Battler, it says, like, no one's left alive, but I am going to kill you, that Shannon has control over the explosion.
That would be a good assumption to
and
make.
That Sayo could, for instance, turn it off if whatever their goal was, maybe both Battler worked it out and stuff, but Sayo could be like, right, we're not all dying, but in all of these, it didn't work, so everyone died.
That's a good theory.
It also, Claire said at the beginning of the episode that, like, no one, that people would stop dying if the epitaph was solved. So it's possible that Sayo would have turned the explosion off and stopped killing people if that happened. Like, I don't know if one of Sayo's motivations for this is to get someone else to solve the epitaph so that they can pass the headship onto someone else. It's a bit unclear, and also
I can tell you we might go into this
also because in episode 3, if Ava does solve the epitaph, obviously then Sayo does kill more people. So
I think maybe Sayo kills more people because Ava keeps killing people. Episode 3 motivations are really unclear. It's one of my least favorite bits, is trying to decode what the fuck Ryukishi was like, what the character motivations are in episode 3. You have to intuit a lot because it's never given to us.
I think that is my problem for this game, is it's not given to you, you've got to intuit too much.
Interesting, because Noxus Sith rule is that it's forbidden for accident or intuition to be employed as a detective technique. So that would really suck if intuition was what we needed.
That's not what that means, but like, I know what you mean.
That's not what that means. It's mostly because Ryukishi doesn't like telling you character motivations and wants your love for the characters to inform what you think their motivations are. But
Ryukishi really thinks I like this game a lot more than I do. I'm so sorry, my guy.
The problem is he didn't realize that people don't like that amount of ambiguity and want to know what actually happened.
Yeah, so. I would say mysteries and detective novels, kind of part of the fun of doing it is working out what the answer is and finding out if you were right. And if you never tell anyone if they were right, that's annoying.
somebody I really respect who definitely is not on a different podcast because no other podcasts exist one always says the point of like having stuff set up for your audience to work out in advance is to make your audience feel good when they work it out. You have your setup, your reminder, your payoff. James Bond has a magic watch, like a cool watch with a gadget. James Bond puts the watch on in a scene, you're reminded it exists, and then there's a payoff at the end when he uses the gadget to solve it. The reason why this mystery, like, the reason why I compared it to edging without orgasming is because it's like, you get the first two bits, you get the setup and you get your reminder, and the whole time Ryukishi's like, are you so excited for feeling clever when this is done and you've put all this time and effort in and you've worked it out? And then he just sort of like, the watch never gets used. The gun is still on the table. Chekhov is so pacing around the room.
He's so desperate for you to try and work it out, but he's also desperate for you to never know whether you've got it right. And I hate that. Like, you can't have it both ways. Like, if you want people to work it out, then you have to give an answer as well. Otherwise,
is again why I think this was rewritten for the manga. To give the actual solution.
Yeah, I just don't know how he didn't anticipate that. How did he not anticipate people would be annoyed at not having a solution? It's really funny as well, because Will at the end is like, is it Will or is it? No, Burncastle's like, did you get it? Did you get the answer? Featherine or whatever. I'm like, no, of course no one would have got the answer based off that. That wasn't an answer.
Yeah. However, the novel still goes on, so he's not.
Yeah, if you want to read a good detective novel, don't read this. If you want,
that, I think that
this
is
this book may well have other shining factors, but it is not a being a good detective novel is not one of them.
Is a common takeaway with Umineko is that ultimately Ryukishi did not want to write a detective novel and then didn't.
Yeah.
He used the ideas in a detective novel to tell a different story. I think it's quite fun. Some people don't like that.
Wouldn't know any of them. are we done with the solution bits?
So we have one more question.
Now, one final question.
Go on.
Who am I?
Illusions to illusions. Regardless of the witch's will, the destined reaper brings the final curtain call to a close.
And who is it? Who's Beatrice?
It's Sayo, Shannon, Canon, all of them. The list goes on.
It's the grandma. It's the grandma, the mother. It's the baby from 19 years ago. Anybody you've chosen to ship with anybody, most of them are Beato.
It's the 17 Beatrices and thousands of people they've chosen to be their accomplices, depending on what universe we're currently in.
It's also Leon.
Yeah.
We have this lovely moment, and then we have something that made me sort of like pause reading and walk away for a little bit, because Beato takes a bow and there's a huge applause. the long, long tale she just finished telling was being given a massive applause. It went on and on and on and on. The stage slowly sunk into the darkness of oblivion. And I'm like, my guy, my fucking guy. Like, this is like Lin-Manuel Miranda being like, I'm going to write a musical about somebody who's extremely talented and super clever. And also I'm going to cast myself as the guy who's extremely talented and super clever.
Like, everyone clap for my story, please.
Are you fucking joking?
I assumed it was applause for revealing, you know, their truth, something that is revealed in this narrative to be something that's incredibly hard to do, and most humans go to their grave never revealing their truth or having anyone understand their truth. But, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, so...
Honestly,
also,
Beatrice, if you wanted to be understood, maybe dispense with the millions and millions of layers of nonsense that you put on top of your message.
for what it is worth, because we immediately got this take here. People are riddles. They want someone else to solve their riddle. They live life wanting someone to solve the riddle that they are the most difficult riddle in the world. They want someone to look at the riddle that they are. They want that person to solve it for her. That wish has been granted. That's not how it fucking works. We, like, as humans, you cannot, like, intuitively know somebody. Healthy relationships are built on communication between people. You can't have somebody magically solve your riddle. You have to explain to them the solution. And I saw this and I was like, this is such a toxic way.
I will accept that that's how she sees the world. But yeah, that is, yeah.
That's
not it.
I assumed it was like, because there's a difference between knowing someone's past and knowing their truth, which I think is a very important distinction to make.
I'm not talking about knowing someone's past. It's like, okay, my love language is gift giving, and I really appreciate partners gift giving to me as like a method of expressing like affection. And unless I say that to somebody, they're never going to know. Like, I cannot express.
That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, like, why Beatrice did all this, like, what her story is. And I think that's something that, beyond just saying, oh, I did a bunch of murders, that's different. It's like, it's knowing the emotions that maybe perhaps Beatrice herself doesn't fully, like, understand or can't convey through words alone.
True. And I do understand the desire to have somebody come into your life and understand you fully without you having to articulate it, but it doesn't work like that. Nobody can do that because we're not fucking mind readers.
But, like, it's not fully unarticulated. Beatrice, like, said so much. We just had so many chapters of Claire telling Will many details, and from those details, Will has discovered Beatrice's truth.
I'm so sorry to say this, Beatrice, but if instead of doing all those murders, you had instead given that little PowerPoint presentation on your life to Battler instead of to Will, he might have understood. Hate to say this.
They're fucking right! Oh, bless.
Poor baby.
Yeah, but this is the tragedy of Umineko.
I love that this is a tragedy of people who come.
That's not necessarily a read. That's not a read on the story writing on stuff. Like, that's not being able to tell people what you should be able, like, the things that would solve the story is a big storytelling device that happens. Like,
Yeah.
No, it's
read
just
that's a read on Beatrice herself, I'm afraid.
Having read quite a lot of Higurashi, Ryukishi loves errors of communication and people just not wanting to talk to each other. So
this must be where Ryukishi and I fundamentally do not vibe, because I am such an over communicator at any given point in time. I'm like, most of the world's problems can be solved by talking about something to someone, and
as someone who hates communicating my feelings or boundaries or anything, I'm like, I can see how murdering like 18 people would be easier than having a frank conversation. I do see that. However,
so this reading kind of ends with Leon carrying forward Beatrice's, well, or Claire's hope for the future, by living in the fragment where Claire is finally, you know, happy and not destined
to murder
like people.
Like Claire's there like, Leon, you're like the best of us. You're the only, like, you're not as traumatized as the rest of all of us. You have a you've got a fairly nice life. She's like, she says basically like, oh, you're not split into many different souls. I'm like baby Leon doesn't have DID. And so he's like, you live and also be grateful for what you have. I'm like, also though, Leon, like, do look at the family you're with, because, like, you can be grateful for what you have, but like, don't accept those people treating you bad, because they're gonna, if they haven't already. You've seen these people in other fragments. You've seen how they act.
Yeah.
So, on that note, next week we will be reading both of the Tea Parties. Just because these are tea parties, please don't think they are going to be short readings.
This is going to be a 24-hour long marathon tea party. You will not be allowed to leave. It is enforced.
The Cheshire Cat is waiting in the door and will bite anyone who attempts to leave.
You got it. So, we'll do some more post-mortem stuff later, but just as a quick note, how are you guys feeling about Urban Echo at this point in time?
Disappointed. Yeah. I was fucking, most of the reason I was here was for all of the mystery stuff, and I really wanted a cool Red Blue Truth battle in which all of the nitty gritty of how these murders actually happened was actually dissected, and I wanted the vibe of how the first four episodes were going with the Red Blue Truth stuff to continue and then to be resolved and there to be courtroom stuff and things. I appreciate the character backstories and stuff, but it feels like it set all of this stuff up as this cool detective story and then just abandoned it halfway through to do something else. It just felt really unsatisfying. So I'm intrigued to see what episode 8 holds, but I've clocked out a bit, I have to say.
I will say, I do think Urban Echo's transition to being more of a feelings book than a mystery book is maybe partially due to some stuff that happened in Ryukishi's real life, aka the passing of one of their staff members and close friends. And I do think maybe that this is one of the issues of serialized fiction, is maybe that I wouldn't be surprised if the story that Ryukishi came in wanting to tell is not the story that they ended up telling.
Yeah,
in the way this is laid out.
Personally, I don't understand anybody who can write serialized fiction. I can't imagine writing a story without having planned everything that happens. And knowing how it's going to end before I even start published it.
I think Ryukishi knew how it was all going to, how all the mysteries, the solutions. I think he knew the solutions. I think Sayo is signposted a lot from the beginning. But I think the way it's presented to us at the end and what the key takeaways are is maybe informed.
Yeah.
Is maybe changed over the course.
I also think that the kind of the takeaway of the motive is more important than how everything is done is also slightly lost, because the motivation for hurting these people and for wanting Battler to remember what he'd promised is clear, but the motivation for why exactly all of these murders happened in the way that they did, as you say, the manga goes into it more, but I really feel should be here also, if that's what we're going to go into. If it's more about the heart, then give us the heart and give us all of it,
mm-hmm.
rather than just giving us bits of everything and not really giving us enough of any of it.
We do get some more motives. We get some more motivation stuff in episode 8, but like I said, this is it for the actual solutions of the mysteries. And also the manga, which we're gonna go into a bit. Yeah, so on that note, I guess we'll wrap up. I still think I can get you to come around on bits of Umineko.
We'll see. I hope I can, because I don't really want, like, if this was the end, I'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake. I'm hoping episode eight can bring me back a little bit. Because I'm halfway out the door at this point.
When I read School Doggery Pleasant, halfway through the book series, they introduced a bunch of new characters. And I was like, oh no, new characters. They'll be side characters and temporary and I won't have to care about them. And so I didn't learn any of their names or descriptions or power sets. And then about four books later, they were the main characters. And this feels like that all over again. Because Claire and fucking Will showed up and I was like, nah, they're side characters. I don't need to care about them. This is the story ultimately about Bertolice and Battler. And now the climax of Umineko is a sword fight between these two. And I'm like, Willard? Willard. Yes. Yeah, I remember him. He's a detective, I think.
I love that. We'll see. Anyway, we've got enjoy next week's reading. Enjoy next week's reading. That's all I'm going to say. For people who have read Umineko before, you know what's coming. It's a good one. Our social media is in the description. Please follow all of us. Thank you and good night.
Bye, gang.
Bye.